Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
And finally tonight, as we approach 7 o'clock, markets and company news, our commentator this evening is Sithembile Bopela from FNB Wealth and Investments. And let's start with the big story overnight, Donald Trump announcing the tariffs leveled at BRICS countries, obviously including South Africa. The market reaction, I think, has been fairly positive, both the JSE and the Rand remaining fairly resilient.
Hi, Jeremy. Yes, it is interesting to see that the markets have been quite positive since the open. So I think the response, perhaps having been priced into, you know, the market, given, you know, the ongoing sort of uncertainty that we've seen play out with Trump's tariffs. But yes, indeed, we have seen, you know, Washington does intend to levy 30% tariffs on goods from SA effective 1st of August. And, you know, the U.S. does remain an important trade partner for SA. They account for about less than 9% of SA's export baskets, which approximately a third of which, you know, previously benefited from the AGOA access. So I think generally local officials are still seeking further extension to negotiations. What we've seen play out with other U.S. trade partners as well. Of course, tomorrow is sort of D-Day or Liberation Day, as they call it in the U.S. But I think, you know, SA is going to still do its bit to sort of negotiate that sort of 30% rate.
But there are two sides to the coin here. On the one side, the tariffs don't extend to PGMs, platinum group metals. On the other hand, though, there could be problems downstream for the vehicle and farming sectors, which at this point, as you say, enjoy duty-free access to the U.S. market. So still, you know, positive today, but there is still a lot of potential uncertainty ahead.
Definitely there is. And I think, you know, as these negotiations will likely play out, I think, you know, South Africa still has a strong position, definitely when it comes to the PGMs sort of exports story that we have. But yeah, there definitely is some uncertainty at play as, you know, the story unwinds.
Just looking at the downside, as far as the JSE is concerned today, both Pick n Pay and AVI, AngloVaal Industries, in the red. Anything behind that?
Yeah, I think the retailers, you know, have been, specifically Pick n Pay, they've continued to struggle with, you know, the turnaround strategy. They are facing quite stiff competition and rising operational costs. So we do know, you know, those challenges have been playing out for that company specifically. And so I think there's definitely, you know, the risk of that we're seeing play out in the share prices. AVI, you know, is seeing margin compression in its food and beverage segments. Consumers are trading down. I mean, we've seen consistent or persistent cost of living pressures play out. Granted, there has been some easier economic conditions with lower interest rates and lower inflation, but I think both stocks have just seen notable declines that have been weighed on sort of the risk around consumer goods as a sector.
Let's pivot from the retail sector to the media sector, and it's probably an understatement to say that it's been a difficult year for the for Media 24, owned by Naspers, it's now swung to a full year loss. There's been a drop in revenue, but I think counting to that are the cost of restructuring. Towards the end of last year, it embarked on a major reconfiguration of its businesses. It needed to cut expensive and its loss-making stablemates in the legacy print business. And the chickens, I guess, have come home to roost in that respect.
I think, you know, the world is becoming more and more digitized, and print is not what it used to be. That's, I think, an understatement, even as I say that. And yeah, I think it's been quite a challenging year for them. The restructure just makes sense given, you know, where the world is going in terms of digitalization. And so I think it is some pain that's being taken now. And I think that also speaks to the market reaction. You know, Media 24 is a big component of the Naspers stable. But I think investors are seemingly pricing in the longer term benefits of the strategic sort of shift.
And there'll be some interesting conversation, I would imagine, at Standard Bank today. A warning from Moody's saying that the institution's exposure to government debt is about 13% of its 2 trillion assets in its biggest market. And Moody's is worried about the group's high exposure to domestic sovereign debt.
I think definitely, you know, there's risk if fiscal conditions deteriorate. Of course, any South African doesn't want to foresee that future, but it is a reality that one must grapple with. And I think while the bank remains fundamentally strong, you know, this exposure, this heightened exposure does introduce a note of caution among investors for banks in general, given, you know, the ongoing sort of fiscal consolidation challenges that we've seen play out locally.
Let's look at the furniture sector and a report today on Business Live saying that shares in the Lewis Group have surged by more than 440% over the past 5 years, adding about $3.5 billion to the group's market value. The furniture industry is an interesting one because it's also a strong barometer of economic activity within certain demographics as far as the economy is concerned.
It definitely is. I think it's one of those sort of lipstick effects where when times are tough, we can't, when certain consumers, segments of the consumer sort of spectrum can't afford perhaps to make big purchases like houses or properties, they'd rather focus on sort of renovations and, you know, buying furniture definitely becomes a I think a key sort of story there. And that's where Lewis has definitely benefited, given their sort of target markets in terms of the LSM band. And so, yeah, it's been a standout performer. Also, the focus on the credit sales, the cost control, also expansion into just underserved markets, I think has definitely paid handsomely for the group. And I think investors have definitely rewarded, you know, the group's sort of consistent earnings growth and strong dividend policy also on the back of that.
And just finally, explain to us the raison d'etre and the consequence of Glencore. It's just unveiled a $1 billion US dollar share buyback. What was the what's the consequence of that and what's the story behind it?
Yeah, so I think, you know, share buybacks are generally a good indicator of sort of where management believes the share should be trading, you know, where they believe that there's it's underpriced, the share is underpriced, they will launch, you know, share buybacks. And so I think it definitely signals confidence in the group's sort of balance sheets and future cash flows, but also where they sort of value the current share price. So the move is likely, I think, to support, you know, further share price support. And it does reflect just the company's sort of performance in its trading and its mining divisions that we've seen thus far. And I think it definitely does align with sort of broader trends of capital returns in the resources sector, as we've seen quite strong sort of commodity performances that have underpinned an improvement in the resources sector thus far.
Nice to be in that position, but against that backdrop, the price of coal has slumped by nearly 20% over the past year, and that does remain a big risk.
Definitely does, and I think that story also is, you know, just the sort of the global energy transition story does underpin that sort of shift and sort of the weakness in coal prices or non-renewables in general that we've seen. And I think that's almost a thematic story that's playing out.
And that's where we're going to leave it for this evening. Sitembile Bopela, thank you so much indeed. As always, we'll talk to you again next week from FNB Wealth and Investments.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.